Hey, what's up? This is Herman Lee here, guitarist of the band Dragon Force. You are on Paul Mescabo Podcast on Power Metal DE.
Hell yeah. Hey there, it's Marcel from the podcast Paul Mescabo, and the following episode is in English because of our today's guest. And now it will be historic. The year is 2003 and I was a 14-year-old little metalhead who loved Metallica and Blind Guardian as well. And I decided to order a subscription to my favorite magazine at this time. It's called Metal Heart. And the gifts for this order were the live CD by Cradle of Filth, a promo CD from Luca Turilli, and a promo CD called Valley of the Damned by a band I don't know at the time called Dragon Force. I love this pretty good artwork, put the CD in my Discman, and I was completely blown against the wall. 21 years later, I still love this band, which is an amazing pleasure for me to welcome Herman Lee from Dragon Force to this episode. Thank you for being here. How are you?
Thank you for having me. You just brought back some memories. That's right. Metal Heart was one of the first press I did back then, going to Germany to talk about this album. I remember. So yeah, it's my first promo trip, you know, to Germany at that time. Yeah, it's good to be on your podcast. Thank you.
Thank you. And I still read the old magazines. Yes, and to be honest, my heart still beats faster when I read the name Dragon Force anywhere. Having seen them many times live, this love has never waned, and I'm really looking forward to the release of their 9th studio record, which is called Warp Speed Warriors. A lot has happened since then, and because Extreme Power Metal was 4.5 years ago, I would like to look back with you, Herman. And of course, we dive into the new album. So are you ready?
Yes, let's go.
Warp Speed Warriors is your first album with Alicia on the bass guitar. Did she, like Mark in 2011, bring a breath of fresh air to the Dragon Force team? How did the contact came together?
You know what's funny? When you said to me, when you started this intro saying this is not in German, it's like Alicia speak German. So we should have got her on this. But you know, we were looking for someone that was willing to work hard, because being in the band, you know, when you look from the outside, you think all they do is get drunk and play music. But there's a lot of work involved as well as the art. So Alicia at that time, you know, in Los Angeles, she has her own band that she is the boss. And, you know, she made everything happen, and also was a singer and a bass player. So she showed that she understand, you know, you got to go out and get it, and you got to work hard to play in a band. And she became naturally perfect. You know, it was a perfect match. How she really worked, you know, grew with the band together. So it's great to have her.
And your former bass player Frederick switched to Creator after the release of Extreme Power Metal. But there was no bad blood at the moment. He just wanted to gain new experiences.
Yeah, we're still friends with Fred, so there's zero problem, and we still have a laugh last time we saw him. You know, cool. Creator has been one of his favorite bands when he grew up. So when he got the call from Creator, he said to us, look, you know, I want to do this. Like, we gave him all our blessings.
Okay. So Herman, you've been at Sam's side musically for 25 years, played with him at Demoniac and founded Dragon Force. And in Germany, we say a brother from another mother. So no one knows Herman Lee better than Sam Todman.
You know, we call it a loveless marriage. That's what my wife said. You're married to Sam in a loveless way. We don't, but it's actually incredible how different we are, mm-hmm. that we're able to work together that way. We can't be more different, honestly, on the spectrum of personality. Sam is completely the opposite of me, but maybe that's what worked, you know, for years. We don't always argue, but when we do argue with stuff, once it's done, we move on and we don't think about it and get angry about it anymore. You know, it's not an easy thing to do, you know, in this world, you know. So we always resolve our conflicts. And I guess we know each other for a long time. And, I made a joke once to him, is that he spent more time sleeping in my house than in his own house once upon a time. You know, I had the bed just that only he sleeps in back then in London. Yeah.
Pretty good. And you work together on your new record, which is called Warp Speed Warriors. I think it's the second album on which you are depicted as quasi superheroes, I think. Have artworks like the ones you had before become too boring for you?
I guess it's just the evolution of the artwork, of the way it changes. And to be honest, a lot of things have changed from 2018 onwards, which is so from 2000 and I guess 2006 to 2018, mm-hmm. we were managed by someone, like we had a manager external, you know, starting from 2006 when we got big, it's like we had to get a manager, I get missed. And then 2018, we just decided to get rid of the external manager and do it ourselves, to be a self-managed band, like a family business, you can say. And that's when we're able to have more freedom to do things the way we want to do, when to go on tour, when to release an album, when to do certain things. And even though we always had the artistic control, musically and artwork, but sometimes you're afraid to go a bit more over the top, you know? You have that, someone's going to say this, the manager going to scream at us, and we can't be bothered arguing with him. So that's what we wanted on the last album and this album. We actually drew little drafts of them before, how we're mm-hmm. going to look like on the cover, and then we got artists to do it. I don't know. It just kind of fit in with the whole stage show we do right now.
Were this also the reasons why you choose Celine Dion and Taylor Swift as a cover version?
Well, with Celine Dion, is basically power metal for us. You know, she's an amazing vocalist, and that song just fitted in. And with Taylor Swift, it's because I have a four-year-old daughter. She was born just before the release of Extreme Power Metal.
Okay.
And, you know, she cried a lot. She was born with teeth, you know, to keep her entertained. And we played music to her. And so I spent a lot of time listening to Taylor Swift and my daughter and watching music videos the last 4 years and still now. And I said to Sam, look, I think we can make this song, Wildest Dreams, that is a good song, into something that very energetic and fast as a cover. And that's what happened. Okay. So it wasn't because, you know, everyone is doing Taylor Swift cover that you say, oh, let's do it, let's cash in. But it's not that. It's really part of my life.
I think so. But it's a pretty cool cover version, I think. And like I said, for me as an ardent fan of the debut record, Valley of the Damned, how much Valley of the Damned vibe is still in Dragon Force in this year and in Warp Speed Warriors? What do you think?
I would say the last two albums, actually this one, got more Dragon Force vibe, like the early days, the first four albums in terms of songwriting, than, you know, Maximum Overload and Reaching to Infinity, those two albums. Because those two albums are very diverse, I really like them. Yes. And we had Fred being part of the songwriting too. But the first early Dragon Force album, you know, there was no Fred doing any songwriting with us. So it was like Sam doing the majority of it, and I work with him, you know, to make those songs, you know, whatever. You know, he would send it to me, I said, I don't like this part, and I'll say this, that, and we kind of look back at it again. And this album, we kind of gone back to the old formula, how I used to work with Sam. So that's why for the melodies and the catchiness, mm-hmm. it became back to the first, you know, forms, those first few albums.
And what do you think are the musical differences between Extreme Power Metal and Warp Speed Warriors? There are more than 4 years between these releases. And I think Warp Speed Warriors is more than Extreme Power Metal. It's very multifaceted and very catchy as well.
Yeah, I would say this new one compared to Extreme Power Metal is more diverse. But when it comes to the fast stuff, it's actually the fast song are even faster, like Burning Hearts. And
oh, yes.
Then you got Astro Warrior Anthem, even more epic. And there was some really cool song, obviously, on the Extreme Power Metal album. But there's something about this album, I would say, in terms of maybe our lives, Sam and us, you know, we've been a band since the beginning. This is the happiest time of our lives, actually. Mm-hmm. So that probably reflects on the album, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why is this the happiest time of your life?
When we're making Inhuman Rampage and Sonic Firestorm and Valley of the Damned, people are broke. We have no money. Mm-hmm. When we're making Inhuman Rampage, we owe the record label like €70,000. at that time after doing a tour. So it's like we're having fun. Obviously, we still love what we're doing, but people were worried if they have money to live or not, or to carry on. We go on tour, but when we come back, it's like, well, we're not going to get paid, so we've got to find some jobs to do. Mm-hmm. At that time, that's what you're thinking in the back of your mind. And these days, you know, it's not something that worries us, and we have a real stable life, and we can do the music without having to worry about it.
And I saw you on tour, I think it was with Sabaton and Edguy on 2006 for the Rampage tour. And in the future, in the next weeks, you are on tour with Amaranthi. And you also have support by Doomsday Party from Amaranthi. So how did the collaborations come about? Are you still friends with the guys of Amaranthi?
Yeah, we just had Amaranth as a support special guest in America. Mm-hmm. We still like each other after the tour. How about that? So we like each other before the tour. We still like each other. And I hope we still like each other after the double headlining tour. And I'm sure we will. You know, I love those guys. I think the music is cool. And I like them. I think Elise is amazing. Mm-hmm. And so before this tour, you know, I think the tour and Elise being on Doomsday Party was really a coincidence. Mm-hmm. Because when the song was written, it's like we always thought in our mind, well, Elise would be perfect to go in as a duet for this song. And then it just kind of all came together like a lucky accident, I would say. And I'm really happy with how it turned out with her as a guest. We always just saw that song needed a duet. So it's like, well, some fans of Dragon Force probably don't want to hear a guest vocalist on the album. And I can tell you from my experience, I have listened to some albums. It's like, I wish there was no guest vocalist on this song. I like the song, but I just want to hear the singer. Mm-hmm. So we made two versions of each of those guest songs.
So is there any possibility to be part of the new Amaranth album for you?
Well, yes. I actually said to them, look, whenever you see something that fits Dragon Force, sorry, I just dropped my headphones there. I'll play on the album. Let me know if you see something that fits.
Okay. So, to be honest, like I said, Valley of the Damned was such a brilliant debut. And I like the song Starfire. It was a beautiful ballad. And Kingdom of Steel is also a pretty cool power ballad. So what do you think about ballads in metal in general?
I love metal ballads. I love power. I like rock ballads, hard rock ballads, actually, specifically. I love it. It's that's why we always have a ballad on the album. I like the second ballad we did, Dawn Over the New World. Mm-hmm. And we always played ballads on tour in the past. Why not? You know, it's good to have a break than just playing fast. Let's say for the drummer's sake, you know, it's easier to play in a certain way for him.
So he has a break in this ballad time. And what is your most favorite ballad of all time?
Oh, you got me there, really. I don't know. I don't really know. Probably something from Bryan Adams. Bryan Adams is good.
Nice.
You know, good guitar solos in Bryan Adams. Yeah.
So we talked about your past, your present. We talked about Bryan Adams. And now I want to talk about video games. Power of the Triforce is a pretty cool tribute to The Legend of Zelda. Really cool, strong song, pretty cool game. And which games did you play as a child? And why did you choose The Legend of Zelda as a tribute now?
On this album, we really just kind of like, how would I say it? Before the previous album, we didn't want to have too much personal stuff. Mm-hmm. That's too obvious. But now I think after doing a lot of like YouTube content and being on Twitch, I'm less shy of showing what I like, you know, and Sam, the same thing. And Zelda, I mean, it's a game that we all played, you know, and so we just thought, you know what, we're going to write the song that's inspired. We're going to write about Zelda, especially the older games. This is, there's more influence from a game called Link in the Past. Mm-hmm. A Zelda game and all this stuff and write a song. So why not? I think we started doing on the last album. We wrote like a song based on the movie Starship Troopers that we thought was a cool movie when we were young. Yes. Yeah.
So one last word to Warp Speed Warriors. I'm a fan from the first hour of Dragon Force with the promo city of Valley of the Damned. And 21, 22 years later, I still love Dragon Force. I still love the new record. So pretty cool album. We talked about your past, and Inhuman Rampage was a very important record for you because of Through the Fire and Flames. So how do you personally feel about the game Guitar Hero almost 15 years ago? Has Dragon Force made a difference, or has Dragon Force been reduced to Through the Fire and Flames? What do you think?
I think Guitar Hero is a very important thing for us, for sure, and in a way that is different than I understood it back then. You know, back then, when you first started, when that was played, you go, wow, this is cool. I'm in a video game. I love video games, and fans of video games like it. But now, what I see is it's not just in a video game. It's been part of people's lives that is very important to them. I met so many fans that says, I used to play that game with my dad. He passed away. You know, I played this with my brother before he went to college, before he went to university. I didn't see him. But every time they hear Through the Fire and Flames, they have special memories of only positivity of great times. That is actually, I mean, thinking about it is even just, I feel it now, you know, just remember how many people life have great positive energy from that song itself. Now, you know, and now after all these years now, the song been out for a long time. Yesterday, it was, that song was used on the NFL in American football playoff, which is the semifinal before the Super Bowl. It was used on the commercial, TV commercial, the primetime slot for the movie Despicable Me 4.
It was so pretty cool.
You know, it's like that's how big that song is in people's memories, you know, absolutely, from young to old. So we're lucky that to be part of people's lives like that.
In retrospective, would you say that Dragon Force and your art of high speed power metal, furious power metal, have revolutionized power metal as the genre?
I don't say we've revolutionized it, because there's a lot of other bands that made great version of the word power metal in their own way, like Rhapsody. They made their own kind of thing. Angra, you know, their thing. Stradivarius did their version that didn't sound like Halloween. And you have Camelot now. They're still kicking ass doing their kind of cinematic stuff. So we just represent one part of this incredible style of music that I love so much that I end up making a band, you know, based on those influences.
Pretty cool. So extreme high-speed power metal, cool cover versions as well, and gigs all over the world. What else would you like to do with Dragon Force? Where do you see Dragon Force in 10 or 15 years?
You know, we're going to keep doing it while we still love it, what we're doing. And I'll tell you the truth, if it's not fun anymore and we can't creatively express and make good albums, we'll have to stop. We don't want to, you know, just doing it because we have to. I see, you know, hopefully we've got another 10 years. So if you want to come and see us play, come see us play. You know, I've been asked that before. These songs are fast. They're pretty difficult. How long can you play this for? Can I play it past 60? I don't know, but we'll find out, right?
So let's find out. I will see Dragon Force and Amaranth in Oberhausen in, one month. And is there anything you want to say about the new album?
It's hard for me to explain the music. Go get it, check it out, whatever way you can do it. And obviously come to the show. I think one of the biggest things with Dragon Force that evolved the most is the live show. I think the live show has been the biggest evolution compared to the albums. If you look at the show now, it's something else.
Yeah. And so much energy. So much fucking energy. Two last questions. One more time. What is your most favorite song at this moment?
Oh, what's my favorite song at this moment? That's really a tough thing. I've been listening to the motion picture soundtrack from the movie Cars 2 a lot because of my kid. Listen to it in the car every day. And some of the songs have really good guitar solos in it. There's one called Nobody's Fool by Brad Paisley. That's a pretty cool song. So right now, I've been seeing my four-year-old daughter sing a guitar solo. Made me think, you know what, we got hope. She's gonna play the guitar for sure then. Yeah. So that's good. That song is making her want to play the guitar.
Maybe material for the new Dragon Force record.
Yeah, maybe. Next cover.
As my favorite song at the moment, I have to choose one from the Valley of the Damned record, and I will choose Revelations. Perfect power metal as well. So one last question. Did you already listen to the solo record of your singer, of Mark?
I heard it 2 years ago, I think, or a year ago before it came out. So yeah, I've heard it. It's cool. I like it.
Pretty cool. So Herman, it was a great pleasure for me to have you on the show, to have you on the Pommes Gabel couch. And I wish you all the best for the upcoming record. And hopefully I will see you in 10, 15 or 20 years as well on tour, like in 4 weeks in Oberhausen. I wish you all the best. And is there anything you want to say to our readers and to our listeners?
Well, thank you for having me on Power Metal D. I know the website for a long time, and you guys have run longer than me, you know, so I'm totally aware of you guys. So it's great to be able to still talk about, you know, basically one of my favorite style of music. So super cool. And I hope to see the readers at one of our shows in the very soon.
For me as well. And dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to this episode, and Herman and I wish you all the best. Take care of you and goodbye.
Danke.